Welcome to Breitbart News Daily. Mike Slater, thanks for being here. Great show today. A lot of guests. Talked to Jonathan Gilliam, former Navy SEAL, former FBI agent, about the FISA court, how it's supposed to work, how it does actually work, and why Speaker Johnson didn't put the amendment up there that would require a warrant for spying on American citizens. What's that about? Then we talked to Thomas Massie. So we're going to play the interview with Thomas Massie, but we'll start off with the opening segment of the show where we talked about Trump's court case and also Speaker Johnson and should the Republicans kick him out. Should they kick him out? And we took a bunch of phone calls too. So this was fun. Here's the opening segment. Then we'll talk to Thomas Massie, who wants to kick him out. FISA, because Speaker Johnson did a flip flop. He did a flip flop on this, as we will explain in a little bit. Now, I'll tell you what the flip flop was exactly, but that flip flop, among a couple other things, has caused for Marjorie Taylor Greene and Thomas Massie to call for Speaker Johnson to resign. And there's been murmurs of this over the last few weeks. And I thought, oh, maybe it's just leverage. Hey, you do this thing we want you to do, or else we're going to resign. I don't know. Maybe it was at first, but Speaker Johnson didn't do the things that they wanted him to do. So they are not just calling for him to resign. They're like, this is it. They're like, hey, you're out. You will resign and hand the speakership over to someone else, or else we will kick you out of the seat and we're going to do the whole thing we did with McCarthy again. So we're going to talk with Thomas Massie coming up at 7:45 today. And we'll ask him what the plan is. What's the plan exactly? What are we doing? How do we think we're going to end up better than where we are right now? Now, I predict I'll ask something like, you know, we're going to go through the whole rigmarole of all the votes again, and it doesn't work, and then Jim Jordan fails, and then this guy failed. We're going to do the whole thing again, and he'll say, I predict he'll say something like, we don't have to do all that if Speaker Johnson just hands it over to somebody else. Okay, well, who? I don't know. I'd like to know that and how that person can do better. I believe right now, and I look forward to talking to Massie, of course, I think right now my analysis is the same as it was about a week ago. We did a quick segment on it a week ago. And that is, I don't blame Johnson as much as the 20 rhinos that are in the house or whatever. I'm just making up the number 20. It could be 50. I don't know. He's dancing with the team that he's the general of the army that he got. He can afford to lose one vote. He's the leader of a house. He can afford to lose one vote from the Republicans. You know how many Republican squishes there are that he's got to cater to? So I don't think I blame Johnson. I don't know. I mean, maybe there's a world where you could be a better leader and bring those 20 people. I don't know. Maybe that's a thing. And maybe this analogy is way off, but I'm coaching my son's soccer team. 7-year-old boys, we stink. We've gotten rolled every game. Every game's like 10-1. Like our one, just like the ball like happens to trickle in the net. Like we stink. Every team has been together for 3-4 years. It's like we're playing Brazil every game. And we're the ragtag group. Are you with me on the analogy? And I don't know, is it my fault that we're losing every game? maybe I could somehow dig deep within each child and bring out their inner messy. Or it's like, these are the kids I got. Like, what do you want? That's my analogy. So I don't know. We'll see what Massie says. Like, maybe there's a war. Massey's like, no. A real speaker, a real conservative, an excellent leader would be able to craft bills in such a way and do certain things, make certain deals where even the rhinos would vote to what? Cut spending? Rhinos don't cut spending. So my thought, I could be way wrong, is that it's better to spend this time and energy trying to get rid of those rhinos than it is to try to get a speaker, rid of Speaker Johnson. Because you get rid of Speaker Johnson, you still have the same team. And the team stinks. But I don't know. I don't know. We'll talk with Massey in a minute. Actually, let me make the... here's the FISA thing. So we'll talk with Gilliam coming up at 7, the former Navy SEAL, about FISA court and how it works. But the gist of it is, conservatives, me, I want, if you're going to search or surveil Americans, then I think you need a warrant. I think that's pretty standard. So Gilliam will walk us through the whole process of how these FISA courts work and et cetera. But if Johnson was on the reform side, and now he's not. And this is the example he gave. He said this is what changed his mind, something like this. He said, if we're surveying, is that surveying? Survey is what, like, they do outside with lasers. Surveilling? You must emphasize the yell, right? So yeah, if we're surveilling a terrorist in the Middle East, and the terrorist sends an email to a guy named John Smith in any town in the United States, and the email says that components will be delivered to your house this afternoon for further assembly and delivery to the high school stadium during the game, I think every American would want the analyst who saw that email from the foreign terrorist to do a query of the other communications between those two persons. But he says, if you had to get a warrant, it would take too long. Hold on, I found that quote. There's the rest of that quote here. Here it is. If that analyst had to get a warrant before that, it would add a huge time delay. The courts are not set up to be able to handle all that volume, and Americans may die. So he said he heard some classified information. He got some classified briefing as to why FISA is great, just the way it is. So he didn't offer up the amendment. There was an amendment that said you'd have to get a warrant. I think it's like that simple. You just get a warrant. So speed up the warrant process, right? I mean, I don't know. Like, you can't surveil American citizens. So we'll talk to Gilliam about that. So that's one of Massey's problems as well. And then there's a spending bill. A spending bill with, I think, $43 billion for Ukraine. These are ballpark numbers. $43 billion for Ukraine, $14 billion for Israel, and $0 for the border wall. What in the world is that one about? So, Gilliam at 7 to learn more about FISA. We'll get caught up on that one. Thomas Massey at 7:45. And then in between that, we're going to talk to one of the lawyers who is suing the government about Boeing, the FAA, and air traffic controllers. It's a massive DEI mess and a big problem. And there's a Homeland Security Committee hearing on Boeing going on today. So we'll talk about that with one of the lawyers in Stan. Okay, listen, I'm totally fine with being wrong and not understanding here. We'll go to Roland, who's in New Hampshire. What's up, Roland?
It's Ron. I tried to tell the...
Oh, hey, Ron. Hey, Ron. Sorry, what's up?
So my point is on the speaker. I think you missed one very important point of the power of the Speaker of the House, Mike, is that he does not have to bring any bills to the floor. And that's the point of these people. Why bring a bill to a vote when you don't have the support? He doesn't have to have a vote on anything. He can withhold these bills from having a vote at all. So we can actually have, for the rest of the term, a Congress that does nothing, which is better than doing what it's doing.
Yeah, don't have to do anything. Don't have to do anything. I'm trying to think. I'm going to ask that to Massey, of course. What would Johnson say? I don't have to do anything.
He have the power? He decides what comes to the floor for a vote?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the FISA court. He would say, I have to bring something to the floor with the FISA court because it expires. So we can't have... Well, I think he would say we can't have no surveying of foreigners even. So we need to have something there. And for what, then he doesn't agree with this new amendment part. So he's like, we got to do something. And he would say, I'm just saying what he would say. He would say the usual extensions have been 5 years. I made it 2 years. So we can reassess it again then.
But, But it still doesn't eliminate the corruption of the FISA. They abused the warrant.
No, it certainly doesn't.
Not spying on the foreigners, they're spying on the American people.
Yeah, you certainly
doesn't.
Yeah,
a whole new program.
I want. So I'm more with you on that one than the spending. I'm totally with you on the spending. Why even put forward? Why put forward that massive Ukraine spending? Why do
exactly.
that?
Don't bring it for a vote. Exactly.
Yeah, I wonder what he would say to that one. Because then you could say, well, the Israel aid's good. Okay, well, then just do the Israel aid. Or where's the border money? None of that. Or maybe, okay, how about this? Okay, so maybe conservatives are saying, look, there's no money for the border. What are you doing, Johnson? You're not spending money on the border. Maybe he would say, yeah, if I spend money on the border, Biden's just going to use it for, you know, processing asylum seekers quicker. They're going to abuse that money anyway. So why would I give Biden a bunch of money to use to open the border even more? What's the point? Maybe he would say that.
Exactly, because if he does nothing for the rest of Biden's term, it's better than doing what they're doing.
Yeah, okay.
Shut the Congress down. Just shut it down.
Yeah, Ron, I appreciate... sorry, I'm talking up too quick. Sorry, Ron. Are you with me on that last one, though? Maybe conservatives are saying, hey, man, why didn't you spend any money on the border? And Johnson would say... It's not, I could earmark all the money for the border all day long, but Biden would use it to make the border worse. So don't criticize me for not spending money on the border. It's Biden's border. So I'm not going to give any money for Biden's border. When Trump wins, then we'll give tons of money for the border because Trump will use it in a way that will actually secure it. Maybe that would be his argument. Okay. I don't know. We'll find out. We're talking with Thomas Massey. In a minute here. Trump trial. I'm in on this Trump trial. This one's fun. I think all the other Trump trials, and please, if you want to call in 866-95-PATRIOT, phones are ringing. That's fine. We'll take your calls. Of course, it's fine. Actually, it was interesting. I was driving to St. Louis the other day. It was about 6 hours, and I was taking in a bunch of other media. Just sample a bunch of other shows and stations and all that. And almost no one took phone calls. There was almost no other outlet out there that took a phone call. You know, like the Joe Rogan show doesn't take phone calls. So it's like, oh, wow, phone calls are really cool. I never realized, I mean, I've been in radio forever. And if you listen to AM radio forever, which is part of it, like we expect phone calls. And I've always taken phone calls. Phone calls are great. But I never really, like, I was like, oh, wow, this is really unique, actually, to have a show that's going in a direction and then it takes a phone call and it can make it go in a totally different direction or add so much more like that. No one else does that. It's neat. Anyway. Well, that stalled just enough to keep us going. Then we'll get to the Trump trial, which I'm totally all about. I don't think we really covered much of the other Trump trials. I think we did a, like, here's what it's about. Here's why it's ridiculous. Okay. Moving on. This one's, I plan on covering this one more because it's the most ridiculous. And it's a criminal trial. And he's almost sure to be found guilty. So that's something. So I think we should be on that one. Okay, we'll get to the trial in a second. Let's go to Jorge in Virginia. Yes. What's going on, Jorge?
Hey, Mike. Hey, I don't have any problem with the speakership going back into that... big old mess trying to find a new speaker because you know what? A lot of us, we're tired of the status quo. And if you have to figuratively burn the house down, then that's what needs to happen. So there's that thought. And then with Jonathan Gillum, I think he should run for Congress.
I will tell him that. On your first point, I love it. I love the burn it down. I'm so burnt. I am vote the bums out, burn it all down. I hate the whole thing. What if though burning it all down ends up with Speaker Jeffries, the Democrat, being the guy in charge?
Yeah, I know. That's the rub, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. And I hate me even thinking this. I was thinking this last night when I was brushing my teeth. I said this to myself. This is how pathetic I am. I said, hey, next year. Oh, next year, things are going to be different. Oh, just you wait and see. Republicans are really going to have a backbone in next year. No, they're not. Oh, but when Trump's in office, then the Republicans in the House are really going to step up. No, they won't. They never do. They never have. Maybe they will. I doubt it. But is that any reason to unnecessarily hand it over to Speaker Jeffries? Has there ever been? Ooh, this is interesting. I can ask this to Massey. Let me write this one down. Has there ever been a situation where the minority party has held the speakership? How about that for pathetic? What if the Republicans are so pathetic, so feckless, so spineless, so much infighting that they can't even hold the House speakership when they have a majority in the House? I wonder if that's ever happened. I wouldn't think so. I don't know why it would. But what is the benefit of handing it over? What is the benefit of handing it over to the Democrats? I don't know. Let's go to John, who's in Florida. Hey, John, good morning.
Hey, how are you doing? I wanted to touch base on a few things you were talking about with this FISA stuff. The first thing, and I'm probably going to misquote who said it, but I believe it was Benjamin Franklin who said, if you give up an ounce of safety, or correction, if you give up an ounce of freedom or safety, then you deserve neither. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we're at with this. People are so worried about terrorism that they're willing to give up their own personal freedom for the appearance of safety with this the FISA warrant, saying, well, if we had to go and get a warrant, it would take longer. Well, that's what protects you and your rights from them coming after you, them getting the warrant. And it's too easy to use something like FISA in an abusive manner against American people if it stays in place the way it is. And the only other thing I wanted to ask you, and it's been a long time since I've had, eighth grade civics class, is why are we so mad, and trust me, I am too, at the speaker for not getting the vote? I believe, shouldn't we be going after the majority whip? Isn't it his job to get everybody in line to vote?
Yeah, interesting. Great point on both. Well, so let me ask you this. Do you think they should get rid of Johnson, the speaker?
I kind of agreed with you the first time when I was listening to you, like, well, if not this, then what? I don't think the speaker right now is the problem. Obviously, I'd like to see somebody more conservative like Jim Jordan. But I think it's the in-house stuff. We're so busy fighting, we're not getting anything done. And the one thing that the liberals have been able to do better than all of us is lockstep and move forward on every single one of their agendas. They're leaving us in the dust. We're so busy fighting, we're not accomplishing anything. And the guy called in a little bit ago and said, we might as well just shut down Congress. It's better than what we are doing. I tend to almost agree with that. Like, nothing's better than the negative that we keep getting out of these things. So.
Yeah. No, John, I appreciate it, man. I share everyone's frustration. Yeah, that was Ben Franklin. There was a context to that quote, though, that is noteworthy, and I forget. But let me make a note of that, and I'll come back with it tomorrow. But that is the line. Those who would give up essential liberty to purchase a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. That's the quote. I was for getting rid of McCarthy, because I thought there's a bunch of guys up there, the Jim Jordans or whatever, who would be better. And I'd be like, well, let's get rid of this guy. And there's like, I don't know, there's maybe like 10 other guys on the bench that would be really good in the House. And we'll have one of them. And then, so we got rid of McCarthy. Great. See you later. Kick him to the curb. And then, okay, let's get Jim Jordan. All right, let's have Jim Jordan. Great. All right, we'll do a vote for Jim Jordan. Oh, didn't failed. Didn't get it. Like, what do you mean failed? Oh, the rhinos. The 20 rhinos. I'm just saying 20. I don't know how many. We should count. Ask Matt Boyle. How many rhinos are there? He's like, probably half. But what? There's 20 rhinos. Then we vote for him. Okay, Jim Jordan didn't get it. Okay, next good conservative up. Okay, you're up. You're up. Okay, great. Let's just vote for this guy, everyone, right? We're all going to vote for this guy. Oh, nope, failed. Wait, what do you mean failed? Wait, what are we doing here? And then it was all like, oh, you guys can't get anyone. There's no conservative who can win over the Republicans. So they did. I don't remember how many people they put up there. And eventually, the only reason like Chauncey got it is because they're like, well, he's nice. He's a good guy. That was it. It was like, he's like the last guy kind of hanging around. They're like, well, we better do him before Speaker Jeffries, the Democrat. Okay, so like I was for the last kick him out because I thought we could get one of these guys. Clearly we can't get one of these guys. It's a miracle that even we got Mike Johnson in there. So you kick him out. What, Jim Jordan's going to get it now? You think those rhinos are all of a sudden going to vote for Jim Jordan? That's my analysis, but I think you can, I don't know. Can you be upset at Mike Johnson for doing XYZ and not call for his removal? Is there a question about timing too? Is time, maybe this isn't a good time for, oh, it's never a good time, right? Because that's where I kicked myself. That's what I was thinking last time I was brushing my teeth. Next year. Oh, just not right now. Oh, let's give him this bill. Let's give a little more funding. Oh, just this one time. We're just going to do another $50 billion for Ukraine. Just this once. Next time, we're going to be tough. Yeah, okay, fine. We'll pass the FISA court now. We'll extend it now, but only 2 years. Only 2 years. And then 2 years. Then we'll get it together. Oh, well, we're really going to go after all those COVID people. We're going to hold their feet to the fire later. Oh, but it's going to vote Republican. We are going to completely reform the FBI. You vote for Republicans, we'll reform the FBI eventually. We'll get to it sometime later. Until then, here's everything we've always been doing, everything the Democrats want. Jeez. Chris is in, but yeah, I don't know if I'm upset at Speaker Johnson for that as much as just the Republicans in general. Chris in New Jersey, what's up, Chris?
Good morning, Mike. Listen to you every day. You're doing a great job.
Thanks, Chris.
Listen, so upset with the Republican Party, okay? We have no backbone. Well, they don't have any backbone. I have a backbone, okay? I'm sorry, but the rhinos got to get in step. We don't need to change Speaker Johnson. He's doing a good job. The Ukraine thing is a bigger mess that Joe Biden started, okay? What up, my point is this. If we look at the Democrats and how they operate in lockstep and the way they went after Trump, even before he was elected, we're not doing anything. And Biden has committed crime after crime after crime after crime. I mean, you leave an office, you have no money. You come in as a president and you're worth millions. How did that happen? Yeah. That's what I want investigated. I just don't think the Republicans have the backbone or the will to fight. And I think maybe it's time for term limits, because I think that's the thing that'll stop this. If we know that we have people are going to, you know, I think term limits will bring the cream to the top instead of having what we have now. And my wife, very conservative person, a nurse, she's beside herself. She's never been involved in politics, and this year, I can't believe how upset she is. She's saying the same thing. Is it just me? Is it just me? No, it's me and all our friends. We want the term limits. The only way to stop this.
Why would the term limits stop it? The suggestion is that they wouldn't have to care about re-election, so they could actually vote the conservative way they want. That Republican in Maine or wherever, who's in a purple district, they could really vote conservative because they wouldn't have to worry about re-election. Is that the thought?
Well, my point is this. We have how many rhinos right now in the House of Representatives and in the Senate, okay? How do we get rid of the rhino, okay? What I'm worried about is this, that we're going to have 5 or 6 or 7 rhinos defect, and we'll have Speaker Joaquin Jeffries, okay? That would be a disgrace, okay? Yeah. What happens whenever the Republicans are in power? This is what happens. We infight. We eat each other instead of fighting for the people. Okay? That's what happens. It happened when Trump had all chambers of the government. What got done? Nothing. Why? Because there was a rhino in Johnson's seat named Paul Ryan. Okay? That's my point about term limits. If we make a mistake and we put the wrong person in there, we don't have to live with it for 45 years.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Chris, I appreciate it. Yep. No, I hear you. I hear you. Listen, I'm here for the term limit conversation. I'm here for it. I'll have it. I'm against. I get it. But I like the principled argument of you can't tell me who I can vote for. But they have term limits for president, so it doesn't work there. I'm trying to find how many I don't know how much term limits would help this problem. I don't know. But I'm here to chat about it if you want. So I'm looking up trying to find the rhinos. So here's a CNN article. This is 35 House Republicans who voted for the January 6th commission. So maybe this is this is a litmus test for you if you're a rhino. And the first one on the list is Liz Cheney in Wyoming. Okay, so there you go. He's not there anymore. So here are 35. So I just picked one. Mike Simpson of Idaho. I don't know this guy. Mike Simpson in Idaho. So maybe he's in a purple district. Yeah. He won the election, the most 2022 election, 63-36. Like, well, you're not in a purple district. What are you doing, Mike Simpson of Idaho? All right, I don't know this other person. Stephanie Bice in Oklahoma. Okay, let's see how she won hers by. Let's see what she won by. Let's see. What's she win by? She in a pro? She like barely. Come on. No, she won 59-37. So what's your deal, Stephanie Bice? What? All right. So if you're a Republican, let me look up one more. Marionette Miller Meeks of Iowa. If you're a Republican and you won your seat 51-49, like I get it. I get it. You're like, I got to pick my battles here, people. But if you won your district, here's Marianne in Iowa. She won 53-46. That's pretty close. 20,000 votes. She got 162,000. She won by 20,000. So maybe she could be like, listen, I want to vote for the conservative thing, but I can't. I'm going to lose. And then you get the Democrat in, and the Democrat's going to vote for all these other terrible things. So I got to kind of pick my battles. Like, all right. So I don't know. What do you do with that? What is Mike Johnson supposed to do? Oh, the previous caller. What is the whip supposed to do with that? All right. Very interesting. We'll talk with Massey coming up in an hour. Find out what he thinks. Well, we know what he thinks, but we'll find out why he thinks he's voting to get him out. And then what? And then what? I don't know. And then what? Welcome back to Breitbart News Daily. Here is Marjorie Taylor Greene is the person who started the whole thing, and Thomas Massey, the first to jump on board. Congressman, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, Mike. Good morning to you.
And good to talk to you. Thanks for taking time. What is the problem or problems with Speaker Johnson, sir?
Well, yesterday in our GOP conference, I asked him to resign, and I'll tell you why. Number one, he's just not equipped for this job. Every negotiation he's gone into with Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden, he's received nothing in exchange. He's either not good at negotiating or he's negotiating for their side. He's done an omnibus that broke Nancy Pelosi's spending records. He reauthorized FISA without warrants. Now he's going for the trifecta to pass the Ukraine spending without doing anything to enforce our border. That will be three strikes. In addition to just the poor management of the House here, the House of Representatives. So let me explain how what Marjorie Taylor Greene and I are doing is different, or the approach, or how the approach we are taking is different than what the folks did when they tried to get rid of Kevin McCarthy and succeeded. We don't want to have a chance of having Hakeem Jeffries as Speaker. We would like to continue doing subpoenas and hearings and passing bills, even though they may go nowhere in the Senate. And we'd like to still have a speaker in that chair. The way to do that is if Mike Johnson would announce his resignation 8 weeks from now, and in the meantime, or at a point when we are able in our conference behind closed doors, not out on the floor with Democrats who can gum up the works, but in the Republican conference, as soon as we're able to elect our nominee unanimously, Mike Johnson would then resign. There's a precedent for this. This is what John Boehner did. When John Boehner decided he was going to clean the barn and screw over conservatives in our base by reauthorizing Ex-Im Bank and passing an omnibus, he said, I'm going to resign after do all these bad things, and I'll give you time to elect a new speaker. That's what Mike Johnson should do, and that's why I co-sponsored Marjorie Taylor Greene's motion to vacate. Would love to get some more co-sponsors, because as soon as we get up to, say, five or six, it should be obvious to Mr. Johnson that he needs to resign.
With your approach you just outlined, and I do appreciate your desire to avoid the chaos that we lived through recently, what if he says, no, I'm not going to resign, tough luck?
Well, that's what he told me yesterday. So I, in our conference, I went to the microphone and I said, you should resign. And he said, I will not resign. And I said, well, you're the one person who could keep us from that chaos. And if you insist on that position, we'll probably end up in the situation where we don't have a speaker for a while, or we have the speaker pro tem. There's, you know, last time we had Speaker McHenry, but they decided that he wasn't able to do things and that committees couldn't meet while he was the speaker.
Yeah. Do you think it is Mike Johnson's fault for those three things you just mentioned, FISA, Ukraine, spending, et cetera, et cetera? Is that Mike Johnson's fault, or is it the Republican Party, specifically the RINOs in D.C.'s fault that he is having to accommodate for, because, as you know, you can only lose one vote? Who do you put the blame on?
Well, you know, he has chosen his side. Okay, he could be, an impartial arbiter of the legislative process with respect to Republicans. But let's take FISA, for instance. He decided himself to be the tie-breaking vote to destroy the warrant requirement in FISA. There were three other amendments that were offered that day that he didn't vote on. And typically the speaker does not vote, but he voted on the warrant amendment against it to destroy it. And he actually voted early so that he would send a message to other people. And they were secretly whipping against the warrant amendment. So he definitely put his finger on the scale there. As far as the omnibus goes, we got a provision in the Fiscal Responsibility Act last summer that all of government would be cut 1% if the speaker did a continuing resolution for a year. Well, all Mike Johnson had to do was put a one-year continuing resolution on the floor to cut 1% off of Nancy Pelosi's budget from last year. Instead, he picked a side of the big spenders and the appropriators in Congress, and instead of doing a CR that would have resulted in a 1% cut, he did an omnibus that had huge increases and just totally forgot about the 12 separate bills. So he's been putting his finger on the scale. He's not clean in this, and he's putting his finger on the scale right now. This week, he's trying to go for that third thing, which is Ukraine spending with no border provisions, because he's already pre-agreed to this with Joe Biden.
Before I get to the border, why do you think he's doing all this? What would he say? Why would he say he's doing it?
Well, it's a 180-degree flip from the positions he had taken the whole time he was in Congress. For instance, he had voted against Ukraine spending before he became speaker. He had been a proponent of securing the border. He had been a proponent of warrants for FISA. Then he flipped. Now, he would tell you he went into the SCIF, you know, the Secure Compartmentalized Information Facility, where we get classified information, and say that he was scared in there. He says he was scared to death when he went in there. I've been in that SCIF with him for 3.5 hours at one session with CIA, NSA, DOD, FBI, DNI, and a FISA judge, and Mike Turner and Jim Jordan. And in 3.5 hours, they never gave us a single example where requiring a warrant for a search on Americans would have stopped or even slowed down one of their investigations of terrorism. It was all hypothetical. So what he would tell you, Mike, I think he would tell you he went in the SCIF and he saw the boogeyman and he learned some things that you can't know, and that's why he's doing it. But I've been in that skiff with him for 3 hours at a time, and that ain't true.
The border. My first thought was, what the heck? Like, how are you not? You're spending money on Ukraine. You're spending money on Israel. You're spending no money on the border. But then I thought, well, hold on. Would he argue, if I just give more money on the border, I'm giving it to Joe Biden, who would then use the money to pay for more flights from Honduras to America, or more parole, or more judges to give more asylum to more people. So I'm not going to give the border to the Biden to be the money to the border for Biden to be in control of. Is that the argument for why he didn't give money to the border?
Well, it's not clear that you need to give money to the border to do things. In fact, that's not what we're advocating for. Joe Biden says that he needs a change in policy, a change in law in order for him to do anything. Now, that's false. OK, mm-hmm. He could change remain in Mexico. There are things he can do by executive order, but we could force his hand by doing those in law. And they don't require additional spending. Well, instead, what Mike Johnson has proposed is a three-part foreign aid package where you do Ukraine in one, Israel in another, Taiwan and a whole bunch of other random countries in the third, and then a fourth provision that he's calling security for America, which includes things like a TikTok ban. Now, here's why that's an insult. We're going to send $60 billion to Ukraine to shore up that country, but to protect our own country, we're going to ban an app, and that's going to be on par or commensurate with what we're doing for other countries. That's an insult. The other thing that makes that an insult is on Friday, it's Mike Gallagher's last day. He's the author of the TikTok ban. As a going away present to the guy who could possibly jeopardize our majority by leaving early to go take a big job, Mike Johnson is putting his bill on the floor. Can you even – what if the bill gets delayed a day? Wouldn't that be crazy that the bill sponsor is no longer in Congress and Mike Johnson is passing it as a favor to him? It's just an insult to Americans to say that constitutes securing our nation. By the way, after they pass all four of those things, his plan is not to send those over to the Senate as four separate things. He's going to use a rule. I'm on the Rules Committee. A rule is a procedural resolution that really is the sausage grinder. He wants us to pass in the Rules Committee a rule that will bind those three foreign aid packages back together and make the resulting thing identical to what Chuck Schumer has asked for.
We only have two minutes, Congressman. What are you doing about the rhinos that are in D.C. right now?
Well, I hope people will go back and look at two votes. Two votes have revealed more rhinos than anything else, and that would be the vote on whether Jim Jordan can be speaker or not. Go back and look who voted against Jim Jordan, and then go look at the FISA warrants. It was only a minority of our party that voted against having a warrant to use the FISA program against Americans. But that's a very revealing list. Now, it was a tie vote, but they probably would have twisted 10 more arms on the Republican side if they needed it. They only got as many votes as they needed. And Mike Johnson walked the plank with them. He's on that list now.
I'm so concerned about that. All right, I'll give you an example. So I'm coaching my 7-year-old soccer team, and the players stink. They're all terrible. So we've lost every game. So is it my fault as the coach that we're getting rolled every game, or is this just the hand I'm dealt? And is that just the hand that Mike Johnson's dealt?
Well, listen, it is a very tough job. I'll grant you that, with a very slim majority. But what happens is Mike Johnson is not equipped to do the job in this under these conditions. Find somebody who can.
So I only have 1 minute. So who is that person? That's the biggest concern. We have 100 people called in earlier today, and they said, all right, let's say we go through this process. How can we be assured that we don't have Jeffries at the end? Who would be better than Mike Johnson?
Well, the way to assure we don't have Jeffries at the end is to do this in our conference before we go to the floor. The way you do that is Mike Johnson does the honorable thing, what John Boehner did, which is announce he's going to resign as soon as you elect somebody, so we don't go in that doom loop. Sure. Jim Jordan would be perfect for this moment. He's tough, but he's fair. He's aligned with our movement. He can help us get the majority in the House. We're in a situation where Trump might win, but we lose the House because we've been so effective under we've been so ineffective under Mike Johnson. We need somebody who knows how to lead. Jim Jordan would be great.
30 seconds, and I love that, but why would Jim Jordan get it this time when he didn't get it last time?
Well, I mean, we get to do this in conference. You're not under the gun. And those rhinos, I think you just got to put pressure on them. But anybody, there. Listen, I'll take somebody besides Jim Jordan. I'm not saying it's Jim Jordan or anything. Sure. It would be hard to do worse than Mike Johnson at this point.
Congressman Thomas Massey from Kentucky. Congressman, appreciate you, sir. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Mike.
I'm American made. I got American parts.
Tomorrow is Thursday, which means Dr. Sebastian Gorka will be here at 8 o'clock, and we'll see you then. Spread the word.
Yeah.